Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again.
And welcome back. We are going to get into that third tool. We've already covered two tools that are within our constitutional framework. The First Amendment petition, which is actually the language in the Bill of Rights, the First Amendment, of course, and common law grand juries. That is the fundamental basis of our legal system. Now, before I move forward, there's a couple of different theories on common law grand jury. I know there's a lot of people, and I understand their sentiments, because the origins of common law grand jury in a monarchy and in the original monarchy, the people did have the right to have a common law grand jury. However, when we created our hybrid constitutional republic, what does that mean? First off, let's just explore this really quick. A republican form of government is a representative form of government where we, the people, choose our representatives, and our representatives are the ones who actually go do our work, as, you know, creating the laws and so forth as our representative. Now, we were not to have direct elections in our executives. The concept, as a matter of fact, I know that even at the time, states did have direct elections for their governor. However, I believe that they should have, when they rewrote the state constitutions, they should have changed voting the governor in directly, should have changed to an elector, so that you would have a state elector to represent your county. This way, we would avoid having a direct election, because what we want to make sure we do, and what the framers were trying to do, is they were trying to guard against mob rule and democracy. And I believe that some of the things they could have done to improve the paradigm so that people get it, so people understand a republican or a representative form of government, was based on the constitutional insights of Roger Sherman, when he actually changed the paradigm from representatives of people to representatives of sovereigns. Because technically, when we elect somebody to be our representative, we have empowered them to be our sovereigns of law. We've given them the ability to create the laws that they feel that are not necessary based upon the enumerated powers within the constitutions, whether that be the federal constitution or the state constitution. The way constitutions in America should be done is they should be done based on, enumerated powers. So what does that mean? That means that we list the powers and specify what those powers are to be, and that is it. In other words, we are not, and we should not, give general powers to where, just like the English Constitution, the king had all sorts of discretionary powers. They were just general powers that he was going to do good and take care of his subjects. Well, we don't want general powers. The framers didn't want general powers, but we have states and state constitutions now that are delegating general powers. This is why I've said this several times. This is why we really need to rewrite state constitutions and identify and remove any type of general power. As a matter of fact, you think I'm fighting COVID or something here. It's just another day with a frog. Anyway, I live with amphibians. I guess that's my Marine Corps nature. Back to the point at hand. What we need to understand is when these states created general emergency powers, they should have specified very specifically what those general powers would be, and they needed to specify them in context to the Constitution. That emergency powers, governors cannot declare emergencies without first deploying, calling forth the militia, because that's what the Constitution states. And we've gone through this just recently in the ratification debates. As a matter of fact, this was the debate between Mason and Madison. And so clearly, governors cannot just declare martial law. They have to deploy the militia to ensure that the people are being protected from the insurrection, from the invasion, or from the lawlessness, protests, which is an insurrection as well, ensuring that our rights are being protected, that our property is being protected, not to be thugs and to dictate to us that we have to take injections and all these other things. They're to protect us and our individual privileges and immunities as dictated by the 14th Amendment. So therefore, governors just can't say, you have to wear a mask, we're shutting your business down because people are going to get sick. Now, they can say, and this is why you need to read the article, Martial Law in the 21st Century. A governor, Governor Inslee or Governor Brown, can say, if you are sick or exhibiting symptoms or test positive, then we can and will quarantine you if you fail to quarantine yourself. And what they're doing in Australia, which I kind of like, is those people that are being quarantined, everybody would be quarantined. I don't like the fact that everybody being quarantined, but if they have to quarantine you here in America, if the state has to quarantine, then you have to pay the bill. Now, so here's an interesting thing. We consider, healthcare an individual necessity, and that the states want you to have free healthcare, or at least the progressives want you to have free healthcare. So let's wander with this just a real quick second. If that's the case, then why is it that, you know, anybody would have to pay for a quarantine if it is for the good of the people? They have no constitutional authority to strip the entire population from their privileges and immunities of of engaging in commerce, of religious expression, of peaceful assembly. These are our not only God-given rights, these are our constitutionally protected rights. Therefore, a general power cannot step on those things. There has to be an amendment to say that these things can be taken away from you if the governor deems to be. But that has to be a U.S. constitutional amendment, not a state declaration of emergency that we can do these things. No, the Constitution in the Bill of Rights guarantees that these things cannot be taken away from you. The 14th Amendment, Section 1, declares that no state shall pass any law to take those things away from you. That includes emergency, states of emergency declarations. The only time that they are allowed, they can declare martial law if they deploy the militia. And that's not even in the Constitution. That's in the terms and definitions of the Constitution, which is obviously, as I've told you, that is the ratification debates. But only for those purposes, and only for those who are the threat. In other words, if they declare martial law to basically execute the laws, the only people that they should be restricting are the sick. They can, you know, highly recommend the people that are vulnerable to the sickness and so forth, stay home. If you need help being quarantined or what have you, then this is where they would step in and give you free quarantines and free service. But that's not what this is all about. That's not what they are doing. What they are doing is all about control. So anyway, back to the American republicanism, our sovereigns, which are our people and are sub-element of the government, and at the state level, that would be the counties. The county should be the representatives as to how things are to be done. If they declare quarantining, the counties are the ones that should be doing this. Anyway, this is all in these articles on the constitutional article page on Reclaiming the Republic. And moving forward, as you know, the show is also sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org as well as RepublicReview.org. And if you woke up this morning and was concerned that this show would have changed its focus, I'm sorry to tell you that that is not ever going to happen, that this show will always be the one that you expect to be able to listen to give you the academic evidence and the academic-based evidence solutions. It's that simple, folks. We're going to be consistent. You can count on the fact that we're going to be pointing to the Constitution, regardless of what these numbskulls think. You know, I can tell you that not one person, I've actually met a few people that have a little bit of history understanding Section 3 of the 14th Amendment, but you would be surprised how many lawyers, how many judges don't even know what that means, and they don't even care because they feel they have the power of interpretation. They feel they have the power to make it up as they go along. So with that, we're going to go into a break and we're going to get back into the Constitution and so forth. And so we will be getting into that third tool as soon as we get back. So please stay tuned. We've got a lot more good info for you. Reclaiming the Republic is more than an educational radio show. My intent is to also work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is the only radio show in the world asserting a constitutional solution to federal overreach. Download and share our podcast and content. Read, like, follow, and share our Mobiusstrip Press and Reclaiming the Republic pages on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Mobiusstrip News. Get informed about local groups in the area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with Republic Review, they can enforce compliance to their Constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as Republic Review. Please read my argument for Republic Review as well as my description of the Republic Review model on ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in. And let's get on with the dialogue.
Okay, so I had an interesting conversation with the Secretary of State or somebody from the office of the Secretary of State. And I was conversing with them regarding their responsibility of removing people from the ballot and so forth. And in having this conversation, they informed me that if somebody is to be removed from the ballot, it requires a court order. And I was looking and I'm going, if they're the keepers of the eligibility, how is it that the court has intervened into the process? How is it that the court deems itself as the final arbiter in that type of action? More importantly, if you read the Constitution, nowhere does it say that the court is to have the power to determine whether a person is eligible or not. The Constitution is what determines whether somebody is eligible or not. Why do we need the court to actually have to step in? Well, now see, politicians have taken this position because they know and expect the court to protect them. Does that make sense? So they understand that if they don't follow the law, so if we go to the Secretary of State and prove that Kate Brown, Gavin Newsom, your governor, who has violated the Constitution, in supporting rebellion against the Constitution by actually passing laws that are contrary and actually stripping you of your privileges and immunities. And if you understand the 14th Amendment, that's what it's all about. No state shall pass any law that abridges or takes away, and this is not the exact language, so I'm not going to pull up the exact language, but it basically states that they can't pass any law that takes away your privileges and immunities that are guaranteed by the Constitution as U.S. citizens. Therefore, what we're trying to actually prove is that when these governors have actually passed laws that are actually taking away your privileges and immunities, then they have outright violated the 14th Amendment and their constitutional oath, as well as the Constitution itself, because they just created a law that took away your privileges and immunities. Nowhere has the government been guaranteed carte blanche ability to suspend constitutional privileges. It was defined that the militias can only when they use the militia is when, you have to understand martial law, folks. Martial law is a fundamental power that government reserves to itself to be able to protect us in dire emergencies, under an invasion, during an insurrection, and so forth. Doesn't say anywhere regarding sickness or anything else. However, even if there is a case like a plague or something like that, they cannot harm and basically shut down businesses and everything else. They can only go after the threat. They can't suspend your privileges and immunities such as religious worship. Anyway, so we've received this information. I'm going, this is kind of interesting that the states have kind of positioned themselves. What this says to me is that the progressives understand what they needed to do, and they've created a really good facade for you and I to believe that they have unlimited powers. No, they have delegated powers, and these delegated powers are to be within the constraints of the Constitution. So there's nowhere where they have, with the 14th Amendment, actually the whole concept of martial law, the 14th Amendment has even made it harder, because when it says no state shall pass any law, as a matter of fact, let me give you the wording for this, because this is the 14th Amendment, and this is Section 1, and this is the second clause. And I'd like to go through the Bill of Rights when we go through the Constitution in a couple of weeks. We're actually going to read the Constitution, folks, giving you fair warning. Anybody that wants to go through the Constitution line by line needs to listen during Constitution Week, and we may go long, but we're going to tell you what each of these clauses mean. We'll even let you debate it. So if you have a question, or you believe we're interpreting this wrong, or how we've defined this based on the ratification debates, pipe up. We'd be happy to actually have the discussion, whether it be a one-way, just send us the email, or whether you want to have a two-way discussion. Like I said, we do want to actually go to having open lines, not on a daily basis because I'm just way too busy, but we do want to have open lines so that you can. And if we get an email from you today and say, I'd like to have a discussion with you on this and this and this, well, then, okay, that gives you a chance to be prepared so that you don't, you know, because 9 times out of 10, when people haven't been in a discussion before on the radio, they get apprehensive. They don't want to say something stupid or what have you. It's one of the reasons why a lot of talk shows don't get calls. Anyway, so we're happy to have these discussions, but this is what the 14th Amendment Second Clause states in Section 1. No state, now do you tell me where the qualifier is in this. No state shall make or enforce any law which shall abridge the privileges or immunities of the citizens of the United States. Now, this is a new law that was injected into the Constitution in 1866. Technically, this even affects martial law, because they've basically thrown down the gauntlet, taking away states' powers to be able to take away. See, it doesn't mean that the states can't have education. That means that the states actually have the power to have education or health care. They can do those types of things. They just can't take away or enforce any law that abridges your right of freedom of expression, freedom of religion, freedom of assembly, those privileges and immunities that are guaranteed to all citizens of the United States. And then they throw in the due process clause, nor can they deprive any person of life, liberty, or property without due process of law. So the question is, when somebody is being stripped of their public service, are they being thrown in jail? Are they losing their life? No. Are they losing any property? No. And as a matter of fact, this right here overpowers and overcomes the Marbury v. Madison, because this concept of having property rights in your job as a federal government, this goes away, because they can actually remove you as a qualifier. If you're unqualified, you're unqualified. If you've disqualified yourself because you've created a circumstance such as moral perjury, you're gone. This is why reading the debates of the Congressional Globe for the 14th Amendment, there's only 2 months worth, 260-some pages, read them. You'll find that there is no little protections, that Section 3 is very clear. These people, anybody that commits rebellion against the Constitution. So defining rebellion means those who are actually going against or violating the Constitution. I want to be very clear. You don't have to actually be involved in an insurrection if you're having rebellion against the Constitution. That means you're defying the laws itself. That is open rebellion. Is a child in open rebellion when you tell the child sit down as a parent and the child won't sit down? That's open rebellion. They're refusing to follow the law of the parent, or these politicians are refusing to follow the constitutional law. That is rebellion by definition. If you understand the intent of what this is doing, this is protecting America from corrupt and evil, nefarious politicians, because they recognize that this is something that can happen. And they wanted to protect America from that ever happening again. So anyway, I find it interesting, but we need to get pushing forward. I'm almost halfway through the show, and I've railed and railed over these details, but I'm hoping that these things actually make sense. So before we get into marketing, and that'll probably be at the end of the week or next week, I do need to get into this third tool that the Constitution gives us to protect us from tyranny. Let me also remind you that we've got Constitution Week, and we're going to actually read through it. So again, get people to listen. This is my plug for the listener drive. Get people to start listening so that they can start understanding the Constitution and how insightful and the layers of protection that the framers gave us from tyrannical government and so forth, and how the 14th Amendment is just another layer of protection that we all need. So let's be brutally honest. And as a matter of fact, if you really want to think of this, and I want to tie this to Constitution Day and Week, how many businesses are going to be brave enough to celebrate and or recognize the Constitution this coming Constitution Day slash week, huh? I mean, how many car dealerships are going to want to say, come on down, we are celebrating Constitution Day. It's almost like they're rolling out a red rug. At least they're going to feel, and if you talk to these people and their PR folks, no, that's political. We don't want to do this. It's rolling out a red carpet for Antifa to come and protest us. This is how dangerous our situation is. And this actually gives me a great segue into the third tool that you're aware of, but you're not aware of it until we actually put it right out in front of you. So please stay tuned. We're going to put it right out in front of you as we come back.
Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. And let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic.
To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath even though we're not required to take it because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's. And if you're ready to call in, the lines are open.
Okay, so this is why, and this is, let me just start back what I just was saying, because, I even forget, what were they talking about? So I'm trying to be brutally honest in asking this question. How many businesses do you believe will be actually brave enough to actually celebrate, even though the owner may be a patriot and love America and love the opportunities here? How many will be brave enough to actually celebrate and recognize the Constitution and invite their patrons and the community to come on in and have some soda and some apple pie or what have you? I believe many businesses are afraid to highlight themselves because of their fear that is being generated by the lawless insurgents. These Antifa, Black Lives Matter, these people are insurgents. This fear emboldens the communist politicians, and this is why so many communist politicians are coming out of the closet in supporting, in directly supporting rebellion against the Constitution, such as Obama. Keep up the protest. This is insurgency, not a protest. He's just using words to make you think that it's lawful. It is not. And I go through this all the time. You do not have a right to protest. You have a right to petition government for the redress of grievances. If you protest, you are being civilly disobedient and or you are violating other laws when it goes beyond civil unrest and actually starts burning, blocking commerce ways, and so forth. These politicians, as they're coming out of the closet, they're openly supporting these communist rebellions by scaling back the police in the dark hours of the night. So these insurgents have immunity in the dark to destroy community businesses. This is all working together as a part of this Bolshevik revolution I've been telling you about. People, we need to realize what the heck's going on and what the heck, what does this have to do with any tool in the Constitution? Well, so let me tie this to the third tool for you, if you don't already know. Anybody that's read these three articles, what is the real problem? What is, martial law in the 21st century and the unknown teeth in the Constitution? You probably know what the third tool is. I haven't even really listed common law grand juries and the First Amendment petitions in those articles, but I have mentioned this. And I submit this truth as evidence that we are in the throes of a communist revolution and too many people and businesses are running scared. When was the last time you had a community meeting? If you have not thought of having one, you need to. You and your neighbors need to decide if you are willing to fight to protect your families and property or surrender both with what little liberties you now still possess. Are you ready to have a difficult conversation? It is time Americans have a very honest and uncomfortable conversation about what you may have to do. So let me pose this question this way. Who are the militia leaders in your county and who are the militia? That's right, that's you. And if you don't know who your militia leaders are, then you need to find out. And or if there aren't any, then you need to become one. And you need to actually contact them or reach out so that everybody can contact you to find out what you or they can do in getting organized. Because that's exactly what I'm saying here, folks. You must get organized. If you do not get organized, you have a welcome mat in your community to allow these protesters. And as far as I'm concerned, everybody needs to have fields of fire. You need to understand some literally the basics of intervention and conflict regarding deadly force. Because I'm telling you, some of these kids, and if you look, there are some that are emboldened and stupid enough to actually really risk their own lives to get out there. But if you really look at most of these idiots that are out there protesting, as soon as you slap them across the face, they'll run. And the evidence points to that. There are, you know, there's safety in numbers, and they feel like when they're in the swarm, they're safe and their odds of getting hurt is low. But when it and they understand that the magnitude of hurt, if it's just in dealing with police, then okay, you know, they know that the police can't shoot them or they'll protest more because that's the government. The government has some real restrictions and limitations. But you as citizens have a right to defend your property and your lives, and you can use guns without the consequences. And this has happened before. Your stand your ground laws, almost every state, except for the real radical left states, are going to stand and back you up regarding the law and the Constitution. I only believe that if you're in California, New York, and a few of these really hardcore left-leaning states, you're going to be, you know, out in the wind. You're not going to be able to, you know, get your rights in protecting yourself enforced or supported. So what do? Well, if you live in those states, you better start praying. And this is why I've been telling you for the past 2 years, you better start investing in these red elections. The primary elections in 2022 will be so pivotal and so important that you better be ready to throw money into these dark red states to ensure that the state of Wyoming, the state of South Dakota, and a couple of other states that hopefully will be ready to give you the names of the people we need to get across the finish line. We're going to need your support to do that, because these folks are going to need to get out and get that message out, and they need money to do that. This third tool is no laughing matter, and I testify to you that if you take a stand and do not surrender, you will prevail. If you look at how these insurgents are acting in business areas in contrast to housing communities, they know in the dark of night there is not enough protection guarding businesses, but they too are scared of you fighting back, as I've been telling you. They will go into a fetal position as soon as they hear shots fired. The fact is, because I'm telling you, you know, the one thing that really wakes up a crowd is that sound of a shotgun being cocked. Now everybody knows that there's a round in the barrel, and there's a good chance that barrel's pointing at you. Everybody stops talking what they're saying, and they look to where that sound came from. If you and your neighbors resolve in defending yourselves, they and you will be happy, and the Antifa will even be happy to go somewhere else, or these insurgents, let's call them insurgents, will go somewhere else that is not being defended, like business areas or progressive bastions. Now, do you think Beverly Hills and Hollywood are going to defend their property? No, they have their own little private police force. And they're not defunding them while LA is defunding them, because they have too much to lose. They love their wealth and their property. But I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with wanting to defend your property, but they're willing to pay, and they have the money to pay for that quality of life. We pay taxes for that. They actually pay out of their pocket. And in a direct way, they also pay taxes for that. But anyway, the whole point is that there are, I will say, liberal neighborhoods where the people are not organized. They have not used their constitutional powers of forming a militia. There are two types of militias, as you will learn in the What is the Real Problem article. There is the organized militia and the unorganized militia. Your neighborhood is an unorganized militia, and all you have to do is give it a little bit of organization. The difference between organized and unorganized is a formality of organization. An organized militia is formally set and organized by the state executive and the state government. We the people need to comply with the Constitution. As I've been telling you, the Constitution to we the people in the form of a militia is exactly what we must do, one in compliance and to enforce the Constitution. I've repeated this time and time again. The Lord knew everything we would need to repel this evil, and if we don't, it will be too late. But once government forces have been organized to enforce communism, our ability to fight back will be gone. I mean, if you watch these revolutionary, inspiring movies of how, you know, muskets against muskets and so forth, we don't have muskets against muskets anymore. They have armored personnel carriers. They have technology and weaponry that outscales and outmatches everything that we have and everything that we are going to try to do. So I just want you to understand that the concept of fighting back in another little revolution is not even plausible. You have to be, I think, a little touched in the head to even think that is a reality. We'll be right back after these promos.
Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and republic review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to ReclaimingTheRepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much.
To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to ReclaimingTheRepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process.
Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255.
Okay, so we've got his last segment, and I think we're going to actually finish this conversation regarding the three tools in the Constitution we need to start using. And there's no reason. There is no reason why you're not using these. Anybody that thinks they can't just contact and get a petition initiated. I'm telling you, Bob Schultz would be happy to work with anybody. But let me get into that when I finish this. As I have said, I've said this in so many different ways. Only the Lord knew what we would be dealing with in these days. He saw that our Constitution would be coming to a point, just like every other government, would be coming to a point that where it would basically capitulate it, because we would allow, you know, the Titler cycle of democracy, and I've gone through this before, but the Titler cycle of democracy points out that as soon as people realize they might have the ability to use the public purse for their benefit, then they start voting benefits for them. It is clear that our Constitution was designed not to allow that to happen. The only reason it has been happening is because government has been allowing it by not complying to the Constitution. They have no authority to do welfare. They've convinced you that they can. But there's nothing in the Constitution, and clearly the constitutional terms and definitions that are in the ratification debates said that they couldn't. Are we really basing our concepts on the honor and integrity of politicians? No. Because the 14th Amendment gave us the ability to get rid of all politicians who fail to support the Constitution and fulfill their oath of office. It's really pretty simple, folks. And why is it that that even exists? Because the Lord knew we would need that, because he knew that we would start getting so corrupt and that our government would be so tyrannical that we would need the supreme law of the land if we used it to clean up, to fix, to righten the ship and our course, and to get back on track as a nation of liberty. That's why I keep telling you this. This is why I've even been haranguing businesses to put their money where their mouth is, or they will be silenced for good, and many of them have been. I've been telling you, thousands and thousands of businesses, big and small, have fell. You, as a citizen, need to start putting your money where your mouth is. If you want to stand for liberty, you're going to have to start buying, you know, representation or paying for those who are champions for liberty. And I'm telling you, you do not have one in a blue state. They may seem like it, but they don't have any, and you don't have any hope because of the useful idiots. The best thing we can do is convert red states to actually stand up and basically anchor themselves and lasso the rest of these blue states and say, you're not going anywhere. You're not taking our Constitution down that path. And as a matter of fact, we're exercising our power and authority because we have enough red states still to do this. We'll find out after 2020. I will give you the results at the end of November, early September, when we finally get, you know, how the state governments have panned out from the different primaries, from the general election and the different precincts, because it takes a while for all that to actually be solidified, where the Secretary of State says, these are the results and these are the winners. So by December, we're going to know how red our constitutional republic really is. And then we'll have to hope and pray that we can stop and change our direction, stop and or change our direction in November of 2022. If things go by the wayside, things may change, but we're ready and prepared to do a lot of things. And over the course of hopefully this month, because we're running out of time, and I've got people that are talking about sponsoring and funding what we need to do. I actually have people at the table talking about this. If that happens, then we will be announcing to you how we are going to be striking. And you can sit and get engaged and get involved without feeling like you're just a single voice in the wilderness type of thing. Now, let's get back to the listener drive, because I do want to just repeat this. If you have a friend, a like-minded friend, have them take 605-562-4209 and enter that phone number into their phone. And during the airing time of this show, have them dial that number. This is the listen line. Let them start listening to the message, because it's really important that we actually can continue to broaden the scope and the reach of this show. I doubt that any conservative entertainer is out there telling you this. I am positive, as a matter of fact, that conservative entertainers are not teaching you what you need to do and how we can use the tools that the Lord put into our Constitution to save this republic and our liberties. So it's time to start walking the walk. You know, talking the talk doesn't do it anymore. We actually need to walk the walk. Liberty requires everyone's support and assistance. If you understand these things, what are we doing that is necessary for making these changes? I'm telling you, the petitions, the common law grand juries, these things right there, and forming a militia, these are catalysts for initiating republic review. This is why I and Reclaiming the Republic is even working and involved with these organizations. If we are standing for liberty, we will deliberately not support those who are supporting the subversion of this nation with communism. And so now's the time to point out, you know, the Tom Hankses of the entertainment industry. But let us not forget the NFL, the NBA, the Major League Baseball, MLB, if you want to call it that way. And now even the NFL is basically chanting Black Lives Matter. They are getting divisive as well, and they're calling for social justice. In other words, they're supporting this Bolshevik revolution, along with the entire entertainment and the news media industry. They are all, these are capital letters, cheerleaders for undermining our Constitution, my friends. Seriously, we must stop supporting these subversive organizations, okay? Because this is the tip of the spear for communism. With a few minutes I have left, let me just point these two things out. Petitions and common law grand juries and militias. Look, find out. Go to a gun store. Go to a local, you know, Second Amendments Patriots organization, Oath Keepers, or what have you. Check those people out. They will tell you who your militia leaders are in the area, or the unorganized militia leaders are. Get with them, have them come and talk to and speak in your community meetings. We need to have these honest conversations on petitions. If you live in a state where you have politicians, you know, we need to wake up politicians that there's actually something in the Constitution that will hold them accountable. And so if you've got politicians, let's do petitions. Reach out to me or go to the We the People Foundation and reach out to Bob Schultz. Robert Schultz would be happy to create petitions for Oregon, for California, and for every state. Common law grand juries is the next thing. And so, as I've said this before, we need to get these sovereigns at the county level, such as our sheriff, who has the authority to do this, as well as your county commissioners. They have the authority to do this as well. We need to petition them. And so if you live in a red county and you don't have anybody that's violated directly or given aid and comfort, they're just kind of going, well, you know, we don't support these things, but that's just lip service. You need to petition them that they have the authority and must convene common law grand juries to clarify and set the terms and definitions so that everybody understands, or actually reamplify those terms and definitions of the Constitution, so that everybody in the county and the state understand that no politician has, you know, what do you want to call that, that is completely indemnified or has full immunity from not being accountable to their oath of office, that they are all accountable to their oath of office. So that's another way you can use your petitions to actually leverage and or move these, I'll just say it, these corrupt politicians and going after them. Use your sheriff, use your county commissioners, use these scoundrels that are out there and force them into doing what needs to be done. It's just that simple. So, my friends, basically I got nothing but seconds left here. I hope that this is all really helps you understand what you do have in the Constitution. And I believe it is more than enough. And I believe that the Lord gave them to us for a reason. All we need to do is take a stand. And as a matter of fact, whenever you're doing things that the Lord wants us to do, He will bless us and let us actually and help us succeed. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless.
The reason progressives are effective in instituting their policies is because they are united ideologically, financially, and socially. In addition, almost every billionaire in the world is funding a vast array of different groups, and these groups' efforts are to undermine our republic and our constitution. If you don't believe me, just Google donors to the Open Society Foundations. The only way we're going to successfully combat these efforts and take back our liberties, like our education system, healthcare, state lands, housing, labor, and many other roles, responsibilities, responsibilities and powers that belong to the states is by you and I and local businesses getting involved in supporting political programs and efforts based on constitutional principles. The best way to do this is supporting result-oriented organizations designed to take back our lost liberties. The ultimate result-oriented effort is Republic Review, so please consider contributing to the show and the organizations and activities that we are supporting by going to reclaimingtherepublic.org and go to the contributions page, and you can become a listed supporter of liberty.